TypeRadio.org, broadcasting from New York, TypeCon 2005.
Have people been barred from the website?
People have been warned.
Oh, really?
One person, who shall not be named, who most people can guess. I don't know, every now and then we'll have to warn somebody, but fortunately, in the 5 years we've been running, we've not had to ban anyone, which is really a sense, I have a sense of pride about that. We kind of try to keep it a pretty open forum, but an open forum means that there will be people that, you know, you'll get some really great discourse, but then you'll also get some abrasive people that are in the group. Sometimes those people, you know, sometimes that's good. You know, it generates discussion, it generates activity, and that's always good in a community. But you know, every now and then, when things get personal, as they always seem to somehow go back to that. Fortunately, the community has been pretty self-regulating. We've only had to go in and kind of give warnings, and really glad that we've not had to do that.
So, what sort of warning if you say that word again, or if you act?
It's kind of like, hey, listen, you know the rules. You know that this is not about personal attacks. If you persist this, or if you continue doing this, then we will ban you for life. Not for life, probably more like for a week. And for a lot of people on Typophile, that feels like a life sentence, because it's like,
really.
But you know, I think we believe in you know, give them a warning first, and then see if they back off and be cool. And if someone's just totally not cool, then you know, we have no qualms about just, you know, cutting them off, because frankly, we get a lot of, you know, when there are people that are, you know, causing, you know, problems or getting personal, we get a lot of personal emails sent to us saying, hey, listen, can you do something about this? Or, hey, if this continues, I'm going to leave, you know, and we don't want to lose other people because of one person. So,
yeah, sometimes it crosses legal boundaries that, you know, we don't want to be on the wrong side of a lawsuit.
Yeah,
and so we've, you know, had to take action, and we've had to remove posts for that reason. But you know, to date, haven't had to ban any one particular party or person.
Yeah. And I don't want to give the impression that it is one person. That's probably a misconception to think that it is one person causing all the problems. It's, you know, but typically we don't have to deal with a lot of that.
Do you think type design is mystified, overrated? Made more than it actually is?
No. I think type design is a genuine craft, and some people get it, and other people can try really hard, and it comes much more difficultly. I don't know if that's a word to them. But I do think that there is a lot of guarded secrets, and there's a lot of people keeping their tools close hold. And part of what we hope to do at Typophile is foster a community where people feel safe enough to share not only their type design that they're working on, because the critique boards are rather busy, but specifically sharing other things that help them. You know, I think the concept there is, if we can talk more as a community and share more of what we know, all it's going to do is push the art form, push the craft, elevate it. Further than where it is. I mean, it's at a great place right now, don't get me wrong, but it's, you know, I'm of a belief that you can always push further. You can always, you know, innovate and do new things.
There's another aspect, you know, just speaking as a graphic designer, early on I fell in love with type, and it always had a mystique about it, and you know, type was sacred. You didn't mess with it. You didn't squish it or who
taught
or
you
screw
that?
Around with
I
mean, it.
Who taught you that?
I would attribute that to one of my professors, Linda Sullivan at BYU. Just, you know, she gave us the smackdown lecture. You know, you do not squish or distort type. But she, you know, was very interested in having us play with type and mold, use type. So one thing that you know, I decided to create a typeface for my BFA project, and you know, it's not commercially released or anything, but as a personal exercise, it really kind of took the mystique off of type design and really kind of opened my eyes a lot to where I feel much more comfortable. You know, if I don't like this character in a logo type I'm working on, I'll change it. And I think it's, I would hope that Typophile is helping graphic designers achieve that, as well as being a resource for type designers who do it professionally. So I think it works on both fronts to sort of, you know, the old masters knew a lot of great stuff, but you know, there's always room to push the boundaries.
Do you think there will be an end to type design? Because I mean, what I'm getting is like the detailing is getting so close together. I mean, it's so minimal, the differences between different kinds of type.
When I see, you know, some of the stuff that's being done in text design, you know, maybe John Hudson's really close to being done. I'm saying that facetiously, but
affected his craft, you mean? Or?
But I just mean. It does seem like there will be a point where text type is perfected, and some people say that it already has been, and some people say Times Roman is the quintessential perfect text font. I don't agree with that, but then you look at some of the other contemporary stuff being done by, you know, Typeco, or being done by Underwear, some of the new stuff coming from a lot of different sources. Is obviously evidence that it will never stop.
Yeah, despite the fact that, yes, there are a tremendous amount of typefaces out there. In fact, I'd love to see some sort of visual search engine where you could, you know, look at a font and then take a step away, from, you know, one degree separate from that. Like, okay, show me what other fonts are just like this one. And, you know, have some way to kind of sift through fonts kind of visually that way. I think that despite that fact that there are so many fonts out there and arguably many look alike at first impression, there's still, you know, the foundries out there are always putting out new stuff that open your mind and make you realize that there's new directions still to go.
And that's what you were saying, though, about the search engine. You type in, I want a doctor's font or something like that, and then you'd get a list.
So make it more convenient, so that you get like 10 fonts to pick from, and then those are doctor's fonts. Like gardener's fonts or like whatever. So people that need a font for this stationery, they just go doctor's fonts, and you get this handy list. How many comments are posted on Typophile a day?
A day? That's
a good
on average.
I don't know.
It's in the.
Do you have a number?
In probably the hundreds. You know, hundreds a day. You know, a week can go by and thousands have been posted. It goes up rather quickly. I mean,
I think there are a few interesting things when you realize that the number of people reading is much, much greater than the number of people actually writing and posting.
Yeah.
So the number of posts is interesting, but also the number of page views. You know, we're pushing 3+ million at this point per month.
Wow!
And you know, in the early days of Typophile, we were ecstatic if we had 3,000 in a month.
We're ecstatic when we're having 70 listeners worldwide. I mean.
It gets a lot of traffic. We've approached different kind of, so, you know, quote, celebrity type designers, or even mainstream designers such as, you know, Roger Black or somebody, Margot Chase, you know, and invited them, hey, why don't you come to Typophile, you know, and, well, first we say, well, we want to introduce you to Typophile, and we have this critique there, and we'd love if you'd come do a guest critique. We would love to have, you know, these designers come do guest critiques. And we've been really surprised when some of these people that we've never seen post, you know, go, oh, yeah, no, I'm always on there. I read all the time. And that's exciting because, you know, you don't see them. Nobody sees them, but they're there reading. And it's always interesting when you talk to someone who's kind of reached that celebrity status, and they can tell you, like, they can make a comment on based on a current thread that's happening or some discussion that's happening, and you've never seen them post, but they are following along. That's it's kind of it's exciting to hear that kind of.
Maybe they're under another name.
No, that's probably true. You know, yeah. That's very true, and I hope they are because you know their input is needed.
But even if it's under another name, acknowledges type of file as being like a source of inspiration, knowledge, whatever, doesn't it?
Sorry, what's the question?
It sort of acknowledges that type of file is as a source of inspiration or knowledge.
As it's grown and gotten really active, it's become one of those things you can't ignore much anymore because there's a lot of activity and discussion that's happening. And on a day-to-day basis, people that work in this industry, I think, still like to discuss it. And, you know, any place like Typify where there's so many discussions happening at a given moment, you can't not, in a way, you can't not be involved or not be aware of what's happening just because, you know, you might miss something.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Typeradio.org